Opinions expressed by talk show hosts or callers on KWRO AM 630 do not necessarily represent or express the opinions of the staff and management of KWRO AM 630 or Bicoastal Media LLC, its sponsors and subsidiaries. And now, ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting live from the palatial Bicoastal Media Studios high atop the Hall Building in beautiful downtown Coos Bay, it's the Jim Bice Show. Here he is, Jim Bice, the guy everyone hates to love.
Good afternoon, Coos County. Welcome to the Jim Bice Show. It's Monday again. You know, I was out this morning wandering around early, shortly after dawn, and I noticed it was foggy, and the air has that fall feel to it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And I guess the seasons are going to change. My wife said, oh, it's fall already, and blah, 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 and I reminded her that we get some of our hottest weather in September and early October, so. But it was kind of nice. It was refreshing wandering around this morning, just enjoying the morning, and I hope everybody else did, too.
You know, I had to explain that to the kids these days. We actually had four seasons when I was a child.
Right.
You know, and it now call it climate change. So,
you're right.
You know, it's, you got to explain that to the younger folks.
Well, you know, in Coos County, we have basically two seasons,
yeah.
Rain and no rain.
Rain and no rain.
That's the way it is. I've got a very special guest in studio today. I have Terry Greer. Terry's running for Oregon House of Representatives. She's going to be running against Caddy McEwen, who has basically screwed us. And maybe we can get somebody in there that actually represents all the people instead of just the special interest. What a concept. Anyway, Terry, welcome to the Jim Bice Show. And I want to remind everybody, if you have any questions that you want to ask Terry or comments or anything, you can give us a call here, 541-267-2124. Or if you're outside the immediate calling area, you can even call toll-free at 800-507-5569. With all that said, Terry, just give us an overview. Why do you want to run for Oregon House of Representatives? What's your vision? What do you want to accomplish here?
Well, Jim, I like what you said about it's a season of change.
Yeah, it is.
I think that that's the most important thing. At the legislature, I came in 2016, and I saw increased taxes in a short session that was set up for emergencies, and honestly, I got mad, and I felt like I know that I can do a better job at representing all the people, exactly what you said.
Yeah, it's about time we got somebody to do that. The representatives we have in this area right now seem to represent Portland. They forgot who brung them to the dance, I guess.
And I agree.
You mentioned the tax increase. Let's see. I don't remember the numbers, but it was in the billions tax increase. And then Governor Brown came back later, and she says, oh, well, that was too much. So she gave back a couple of million. Basically, she gave back chump change after raping us. So
so in the last 2.5 years, Governor Brown has, and the legislature has increased our taxes 17.6 billion dollars, either new or increased. And from an economic development perspective, that is not sustainable.
Well, you know, it there was some talk here a couple months ago about President Trump gave us tax cuts, except for the business owners in Oregon. Business owners in Oregon don't get a tax cut because of Governor Brown.
That's right. You know, anytime you travel outside the state of Oregon, you see that prosperity and you hear the stories from people bringing home more money in their paychecks to small businesses being able to reinvest to expanding. And it's sad when you drive around rural Oregon and you don't see that happening there.
Well, that's because in the state of Oregon, the only thing that matters to the politicians in Salem is what happens in Portland. They don't really give a rat's behind about anything outside the metro area. It kind of tickles me. Every time I hear somebody talk about, oh, well, you know, this area is in danger of being depressed economically. And I think, where have you been?
Exactly.
This place has been depressed for 30 years. But they don't seem to get it. And then we get our local politicians that give us all these platitudes of all the things they're going to do if we elect them. They go to Salem, and what do? They reach into our pocket again. They try to undermine our constitutional rights. You know, what kind of a situation do we have here where we elect people to take away our rights and take our money? How smart do you have to be to figure this one out?
Well, and they call it a representative for a reason. We live in a representative democracy.
No, representative republic.
Oh, excuse me. And we're supposed to be able to represent someone to take our voice there. And what's happening right now, especially in House District 9, is the citizens are saying one thing and the representative is doing the exact opposite.
Exactly. Well, the first thing that pops into mind, of course, she supported the tax increase, but she also supported one of the anti-gun bills that went through the legislature.
That's right.
After she came and told everybody that, oh, well, she was pro-gun and blah, 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 you don't think maybe she was lying, do you?
Well, I will tell you that immediately folks like myself got together and put together a repeal, Senate Bill 719, and I was one of the chief petitioners because I was so frustrated by what was happening and that flip-flop. You may have seen my flip-flop ad, and that's one of the things I was talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. She got elected, and she relies on re-election because she's a solid member of the local old boy network. You know, the people, they're the people. Just, you know, I refer to the old boy network a lot of times on the show, and a lot of people don't understand what that is. It's the old money in the area. And their whole attitude is, well, we made ours, and we really don't give a rat's behind whether or not you ever make yours. And that's the way it works in Coos County. And not just here, but a lot of other places.
And to tell where they're at is those are the people who control the port, who can control the economic development committees, the Chamber of Commerce, and in many, completely the Board of Commissioners with the two that they got bought and paid for there.
Right.
So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about old boys. We can name the names.
Yeah, well, to their credit, that group that you're talking about now are really concerned. They're really concerned because they're one breath away from a supermajority.
Exactly.
And this seat holds the key to that. They're very concerned because number one on the docket in February is cap and trade.
Yes.
And that is going to tank our businesses, whatever we have left.
And it's all predicated on a lie. That's the thing that irks the heck out of me. I hear these politicians jump on the bandwagon. Moonbeam Brown down in California is on top of it right now. He's out on tour telling everybody how all the forest fires in California are the new normal because of global warming. There is no global warming. Period. What little bit of warming we're experiencing is completely natural. It can be explained through natural processes and solar cycles. And there's all kinds of information out there on it if anybody bothers to look at it. But politicians apparently are too damn stupid to read because they haven't figured it out. And, of course, it's a great agenda for them to fleece more money out of your pocket. Look at who gives them their money. That tells you everything you need to know right there.
Well, instead of arguing about what's happening or not happening, why don't we just take the solar cycles or whatever you want to call it and start being proactive and thinning our forest and making sure that we're in a place that we're not burning ourselves alive?
Well, yeah. You know, it isn't global warming that's a problem with forest fires. It's poor forest management.
Exactly.
And this started back in the 70s. I remember when this actually started going, when politicians quit listening to common sense and quit paying attention to things that had worked for decades and decided, oh, well, We need to go green. We need to do this. We need to do that. It's got to be natural, don't you know?
You know, Jim, where I come from, a lot of the forests that disappeared before mankind was here to manage those forests, and they burned away because of the
cataclysmic.
Boy, I had a time with that word. And so, you know, those causes have caused those problems before mankind was ever around to be blamed for it. And we lost it because mankind wasn't there to replant it, to control it, to stop it, to manage it before it started.
And to thin the underbrush and do all the things you need to do to make sure you have healthy trees. They don't want to do that.
Can I say hallelujah and amen right there? I just saw a picture. It was given to me by the owners of the house I bought a year ago. And it's of East Bay and the historical school out there in Kewston. And I looked at that, and it was 1906. And I'm looking and I'm seeing nothing like what I see right now.
Right.
It was a park-like setting. And yes, there were some hills that were being logged, but in the most part, we had a healthy forest situation there. Not like what we have now that if something comes up, we better make sure we're ready to deal with it because it's going to go through. In addition to that, this summer I went to Crater Lake. I took a trip there. You could see when you move from one forest management entity to the other,
right,
based on exactly what was going on. And I have to tell you, when I entered the Crater Lake National Park, I was very concerned at the thickness. It was absolutely out of control. And at the same time, three fires were burning around us.
Yeah, so we the taxpayers are spending millions, maybe even billions of dollars a year to suppress fires that shouldn't have happened to begin with. And then when you take into account the value of the lumber that burns up and gets no value whatsoever, we're really taking it in the shorts because of green weenies, basically, and politicians that would rather take the money from the green groups than they would represent the best interest of the people.
Jim, when you talk about taking it into shorts by green weenies, I get such a picture in my head. I don't want to go there anymore.
Well, that's what's happening.
Right.
You know, we are getting screwed.
Well, I don't know about you, but if you've been anywhere around I-5 or even down in southern Oregon, the air is absolutely horrific.
It is.
It's terrible. And so when we're looking at issues with air and air quality and talking about our carbon footprint, hello, people.
Yeah.
Here's our carbon footprint going up in smoke
now. We just put more carbon in the air than they can ever hope to stop in the next 50 years.
And millions of dollars to boot that could have gone to our next generation.
Now, most of that smoke coming up the I-5 corridor and stuff, that's coming out of California. Somebody needs to sue the state of California for polluting Oregon.
Uh-oh, they're messing with our carbon footprint here.
Yes, that's right. They're messing up everything that Governor Brown so carefully put into place. And, of course, she's going to use that as an excuse to take more of our money. But seriously, it was their fault that the situation became what it became. So why shouldn't that the state of California be held accountable for the damage you're doing to Oregon?
Well, I think seriously,
I'm serious.
Pushing fingers back and forth, we need to start addressing it immediately, not tomorrow, not the next day, but immediately coming up with an aggressive plan that's thinning our forests, because we're not only killing our forests, but we've lost how many people in just the last couple of months and thousands of properties, and the list goes on.
Oh, yeah. Well, and then you couple that with the fact that there's no jobs because there's no jobs in the woods. You know, right here in Coos County, when young people get out of school, first thing they do is flee the area because there's no jobs.
Well, there's two issues here. One is that there's no jobs, and those people who do hang around, there's very little training.
No.
Because there's a huge input to push students into college. And believe me, I'm an advocate of college. I teach at the college, and I'm proud to be a first-generation college graduate. But not everybody is made to go into college. And we've been so busy pushing all of our students into college, we don't have anybody to work on our cars, to build our houses, to work in our manufacturing plants, or there's even a shortage of technical health care
people. But that's why we import illegal aliens. Just ask any liberal.
Oh, don't get me going. I wrote about that this morning on my Facebook page.
While we're on that, where do you stand on the illegal alien invasion?
Well, I'm against illegal immigrants, and I'm going to be really proud to vote in favor of repealing the sanctuary status here in Oregon, because it's not just giving them the status, but it's basically pulling money out of all of our pockets to educate them, to house them, to provide social services, and to provide their health care, and to even provide their abortions. And I'm sorry, yeah. I have enough trouble paying for the citizens, much less helping out people who aren't from this country.
Well, why is it that illegal aliens seem to get better health care than American citizens?
Oh, let's go worse. Let's say better health care than our American veterans.
Yeah.
Can I clarify that even more so? I have a good friend, Don Chance. You right. all know Don. And he's been on that list to receive a kidney for many, many years. And right now, the governor has allowed illegal immigrants to come into Oregon and to get legal transplants from our donors right. here in our state and paid for by you, the taxpayers. And that's happening right now where people are getting the operation that Don, as a veteran, cannot get at the Veterans Administration. They're getting free in our hospitals here in Oregon. And that's something, if you're a veteran, you really should be looking at supporting Terry, because I'm sure that's some of the type of practices that she would be interested in changing on a state level.
Yeah. Isn't there a measure on the ballot in November to get rid of this sanctuary state nonsense?
Yes, there is. And people need to be very well aware so that we can vote to get rid of it. The other thing, let's go back to our veterans issue.
Okay.
You know, when our sitting legislators go through and they tick off their list of great accomplishments, our legislator talks about her accomplishments towards our veterans. Well, I beg to differ, because our legislature and our governor took, is it Measure 98? No, Measure 92 or 3. I may have the number wrong, right. but it basically our citizens voted in favor of giving more money to our veterans.
Right.
And then they turned around the legislature and supplanted it.
Right.
And so...
So the will of the people means nothing.
Exactly.
And when you say supplant it, they took it for one thing and gave it for another.
And spent it on something else.
Yeah. Well, they basically said, I mean, the whole premise was, let's say you're already getting $10 and you're going to raise $20 from the new initiative.
Right.
Now you should be getting $30, but instead... They're like, no, we're going to reduce our amount, and you get the rest.
Oh, right, yeah.
And they're closing behavioral health facilities, and the list goes on. So if you love our veterans, stand up and show it.
Yeah, and right here locally, the VA clinic in North Bend, they're down to one doctor now.
Exactly. I got a call on that.
For a while, we had four doctors. I know, because that's where I get my medical care.
Now, compare that to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the Bureau of Land Management, and how many biologists they have in this area that is eating up those tax dollars.
Exactly. So the people that paid in advance for the service get the shaft, and the people that suck up properly to the proper politicians get a free ride on the taxpayer's dollar. That's what it comes down to. I'm sorry, I have a tendency to reduce things to the bottom line to make them understandable. And, you know, granted, there's a lot of nuances in there and it's a little more complicated, but that is the bottom line. The politicians are giving taxpayer dollars and taxpayer benefits to people that benefit them personally through campaign donations and whatever, and totally ignoring the needs of the people that elected them to office. And that's not how it's supposed to work. Representative republic means represent the people, not represent your special interests. And for years, we've had politicians on both sides of the aisle that forgot who brought them to the dance, and now is probably as good a time as any to stop that nonsense.
I agree. You know, when you were talking about our veterans, one of the things that I thought about was, and being down to one doctor at our Veterans Center, I've worked for many years on rural health care issues, And there are several things that we can do to help bring doctors here to the area that aren't being done, that have been done in other places successfully. Whether it's making sure that our doctors, our LPNs, our nurse practitioners, physician's assistants, that they do rural rotations. In some of our specialties, we do have that, but in others, we don't. And in all honesty, we need it in all of those areas. I think it's really important.
Yeah, it is. And it's not happening. You know, one of the reasons that we have representatives from specific districts is because the theory is that a person from that district would understand the issues specific to that area. And yet, we get the way our system actually works is we elect somebody, they get to Salem, and right away it's party politics. Well, you've got to do this and you've got to do that, or we're not going to support you and you may as well not even show up. That's how it works.
Now, Jim, I object to that because Wyden is a heck of a representative for New York, and I just find it upsetting that you would say that.
Well, I don't want to get started on Wyden because I could do about three shows on all the lies that he's told. But you know, the thing is, we have lost the concept of the people holding our representatives accountable, and that's what we need to do. Now, I'm not necessarily a fan of term limits. I am a fan of people being educated on the issues and being educated on what their so-called representatives are doing and holding those representatives accountable, and we do that at the ballot box.
We do.
And you know, in my opinion, Caddy McEwen has done a really crappy job of representing the interests of the people in this area. You know, oh yeah, she does some of this feel-good stuff, and of course our not-quite-daily toilet paper over here is always more than happy to applaud what little bit she does, but on anything of any significance that's going to have any direct impact on normal people, she hasn't done squat.
Well, let's give you an example of not listening to the people.
Okay.
Caddy was the sponsor of the legislation that initiated illegal immigrant driver's cards.
Yeah, yes.
And it was quickly signed into law, and then the citizens, before the ink was even dry, came back and said, wait a minute, not only no, but heck no, and they got it on the ballot.
And
it passed.
Yes.
I mean, it ended up repealing that legislation by 66% in the state. But Jim, let me tell you about this district. This district, over 80% of the people voted to repeal that legislation that Caddy was a sponsor of and voted for numerous times. Well, guess what happened during the short session when nobody was paying attention? In the last week, they slipped that language in another bill and voted it out. And so in January of this coming year, illegal immigrants will get driver's cards for 8 years. So does that mean she was listening to her constituents?
No, she voted for that, what you're saying, in that last
yes,
time
yeah,
around.
She not only voted for it, she sponsored
it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so when you look at that, there's a perfect example of not listening to the constituents. They screamed, no, 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 we don't want this. But she ignored it. And in fact, just in last year, she voted with the Democrats in Portland 98.6% of the time.
Gee, why am I not surprised at that?
So when she sells herself as a moderate, as a business-friendly candidate, her voting record doesn't hold up to that.
She's a liar. She's a Democrat. Oh, I'm sorry. I repeat myself. We got to take a break here. Got to give something away. This is from your locally owned McDonald's restaurants. They're located in Coos Bay, North Bend. There's one in Wally World and one in Reedsport. And the owner of those restaurants wanted to do something for the community just to show his appreciation. So he has authorized me to give away some goodies. I like giving stuff away. I have in my hot little hand here a certificate for one free breakfast, lunch, or dinner extra value meal. It's a complete meal, whole thing. Don't dial your phone, Terry. You're not allowed to play. here's another one for one free small McCafe beverage. Another one for one free lunch or dinner sandwich of your choice. And one for a free dessert of your choice. Great here in the summer. as well as a sheet of coupons, or basically buy one, get one free on various products. And I'm going to give all this away to caller number 3 at 541-267-2124. So dial the phone right now, 541-267-2124. Be caller number 3 and win all these wonderful things from your locally owned McDonald's restaurants. And we'll be right back.
Hi, Danny at Far West Tire and Auto here. Sometimes deer like to jaywalk, or even once in a while a basketball forgets to look both ways before bouncing across the street. When those moments happen, be ready for the stop with the Michelin Premier All-Season Tire, a tire design with more performance in mind. Far West Tire and Auto on Highway 101 Coos Bay. Always the right tire, always the right price.
Stop in today to the all-new one-stop gun shop, Hole in the Wall Gun Shop in Coos Bay. Your area leader in quality firearms, Hole in the Wall Gun Shop proudly features the top brands of new and used handguns, hunting rifles, black rifles, antique and collectible guns, ammo, mace, and more. Gun cleaning and repair, expert advice, and handgun safety classes for concealed carry permits are offered too. So stop into Hole in the Wall Gun Shop across from Cumyon's on Highway 101 South in Coos Bay. We buy, sell, or trade.
The RV business is booming at the Boomin' Y, and Gibbs RV is looking for nice pre-owned RVs to consign or buy. Gibbs RV makes it so simple. They will come to your location, give you a fair appraisal, and help take care of all the paperwork. It doesn't get any easier than that. So let the professionals at Gibbs RV take the hassle out of selling or consigning your RV. Stop by and see them today at 1845 Ocean Boulevard in Coos Bay by the big Boomin' Y in Empire, or check them out at GibbsRV.com.
And now your weekly car care tip from Tom's Bulldog Automotive.
Hi, I'm Tom from Tom's Bulldog Automotive in Coos Bay. What's one of the first things that needs replacing on your car? The windshield wiper blades, and not usually from wear, but from deterioration because of the elements and the environment. Sun, even chemicals in the air and water can deteriorate wiper blades. Now is the time to replace streaking, chattering wiper blades. It's important to see clearly when it is wet out, to keep you and your family safe and avoid accidents.
Go to Tom's Bulldog Automotive to have your wiper blades replaced today. They'll make sure your car is in tip-top shape for the winter. Call Tom's Bulldog Automotive today at 541-269-0399. That's 541-269-0399. Or go to tomsbulldog.com.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Think you can't manage the down payment it takes to purchase a new home? Think again. You could move into a $150,000 home with as little as $1,500 down with our 1% down payment option. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.19%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Every day people ask me, Jay, did I miss out? Have the rates gone up? The answer is no. Rates are still low, and it's a perfect time to refinance your home, especially if your mortgage rate is higher than 4.25%. If you'd like to lower your interest rate and save thousands of dollars in interest without starting over on a new 30-year loan, a Quicken Loans Yorgage is what you're looking for. With our exclusive Yorgage, you can choose a term that works best for you, anywhere from 8 to 30 years. The rate today on an 8-year Yorgage is 3.25%, APR 3.75%. For 7 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation for customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the 3rd year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org. Number 3030.
Your brain is an amazing thing, but as you get older, it naturally begins to change, causing a lack of sharpness or even trouble with recall. Thankfully, the breakthrough in Prevagen helps your brain and actually improves memory. The secret is an ingredient originally discovered in jellyfish. In clinical trials, Prevagen has been shown to improve short-term memory. Prevagen, the name to remember, now available in stores everywhere. Statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
All right, so I have insomnia, but I've never slept better. And what's changed? Just a pillow. It's had such a positive impact on my life. And of course, I'm talking about MyPillow. I fall asleep faster, I stay asleep longer, and now you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090. Use the promo code Hannity, and Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, has the special four-pack. Now you get 40% off two MyPillow premiums and two Go Anywhere pillows. Now MyPillow is made here in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com right now or call 800-919-6090, promo code Hannity, to get Mike Lindell's special four-pack offer. You get two MyPillow premium pillows and two Go Anywhere pillows for 40% off. And that means once those pillows arrive, you start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep that you've been craving and you certainly deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity. You will love this pillow.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. I have in the studio with me Terry Greer. She's running for Oregon State Legislature, District 9. And we've been kind of talking about some of the things that have happened that have not been properly addressed. And of course, she wants to go to Salem to address those issues. So one of the big issues, at least for us in this room, is Second Amendment issues. Rob is, of course, the primary petitioner for the Second Amendment Sanctuary Ordinance. And your opponent, the incumbent, voted in favor of at least one I'm sure of, and possibly two anti-gun laws that went through the legislature, while at the same time coming here and telling us, oh, well, I'm pro-Second Amendment. Well, it's obviously a blatant lie.
Well, actually, she was the 31st vote.
Right.
So she passed it.
Here's the person who was endorsed by the NRA, who the NRA actually sent out propaganda during our last campaign, and she turned around less than 6 months later. Actually, that's not true. A little bit longer, and
stabbed us in the back.
Totally.
Yeah.
And again, it goes back to that same story that I told you, Jim. The citizens in Coos County was the first county to support a Second Amendment preservation ordinance.
Yes. That's right.
And there wasn't hardly any money put into it. It was just basically a grassroots movement of citizens. And how much did it pass by?
Well, we had about an odd election. We had like a 68% turnout, and it only passed by 62 or 64%. But you got to remember, but here's the thing: we didn't put up hardly any signs. We didn't do any advertising. We didn't do any radio because we had a shoestring budget.
Right.
And so we did that without any opposition, and still got 62%. Now, all the counties, the 10 counties that we have on the ballot now, we are going to put money into those races, and we predict that we can take all 10 of them in the counties that they're positioned in right now.
I think what you should do is you're going to do a forum here, in a week or 10 days or something with Caddy at the...
It's on the 12th of September.
Oh, 12th of September. Okay, so it's about, 4 weeks away, I guess.
Right.
You should ask her in that forum if she intends to vote for the Second Amendment ordinance.
I think that's a very good question. I hope it gets brought up.
I do too.
This is a perfect example of, again, what did Reagan say? There you go again.
Yeah.
There you go again.
Well, I don't know about you, but for myself, and I think for a lot of listeners out there, we're getting sick and tired of politicians telling us one thing and doing something else. Part of the contract between the people and their representatives is a two-way street of communication. And it seems like way too many people run for public office. As soon as they win the position, they forget who brought them to the dance. And that's the root of 90% of the political problems we have in this country, is politicians not paying attention to their constituency.
Well, I'll take you one step further, Jim. I think there's a difference between a politician and a public servant. Politicians don't tell you one thing. They smile at you, shake your hand, and then they go and do whatever they want to do.
Right.
every single day I'm out there walking and knocking, making phone calls, talking to people. I'm on Facebook. I'm posting what I believe in so that people can see exactly what I think. Sometimes people come up to me and say, hey, Terry, you believe this? You just lost my vote. And I say, wouldn't you rather know that now than have me smile at you, shake your hand, you elect me, and then I go down there and do the exact opposite thing?
Yeah, all too often, particularly during the campaign season, I call it the silly season, politicians fall all over themselves to tell you what they think you want to hear. And one of the things that I have noticed over the years, because I don't do it so much anymore because I'm getting old and tired, but I used to go to, if there was a meeting in Coos County someplace, I was generally there. And I would see the same politician at one meeting tell a constituent one thing, and then you go to the next meeting and it tells another constituent something exactly the opposite. And that is a fairly common occurrence. Why can't we get people that have some core values that say, okay, this is what I believe, this is what I stand for. If you vote for me, this is going to be what you get. But well, we don't get that.
You get it from me.
Yes.
And you get my personal cell phone number, and you can call me anytime. And if I can't talk to you right then and there, because I still do work at the college, I will make sure that I talk with you. I want people to know exactly how I feel, but also I want to provide an opportunity to hear exactly how they feel. How can I go and represent them if I'm not listening and I'm too busy talking?
Well, that's it. And all too often, I've been to some of these meetings, you know, they come down here and they have these listening sessions where they supposedly listen to what the people have to say. You ever been to any of those?
Yes.
Do you ever notice it's the same handful of people that go to all of them?
And did you ever notice that those sessions basically talk about a lot of fluff? I'll give you an example. Just before the most important transportation package that was ever passed in the history of the state of Oregon, there was an event in Florence. And instead of talking about that, this sitting legislator talked about passing a new initiative for a bird or a flower tree.
Right.
I can't remember exactly what it was. But if you're carrying the most important piece of legislation on transportation, honestly, that's what you should be talking about.
Well, I would think. And you know, I watch what the legislature does. I would guesstimate that probably between 15% and 20% of the stuff that they do have no impact on the real world whatsoever. It's all feel good stuff. Oh, we're going to do a memoriam for this person, or we're going to designate this, that, or the other thing as something special. But it's stuff that has nothing whatsoever to do with governing the state or managing the state for the benefit of the people. It's just feel good stuff.
Well, and on top of that, you look at what's supposed to be a citizens' legislature, which means people have other real jobs.
Right.
And I'm committed to the fact that I want to have the other real job and then go and serve the public. I'm committed to doing that. But it's physically impossible to know, understand, inside and out, all those pieces of legislation. How do I know? Because I've served on staff in the legislature for many years. I've had to write those bill summaries. I've had to stand in front of committee and explain them. I've had to work with the people on both sides of the issue to come up with compromises, write amendments. I know legislation and how it works. The problem is that in the state of Oregon, we have very few things at sunset. Remember that movie in the 50s, The Blob, and how it kept growing and it ate the trolley car in San Francisco?
Right.
That's what it feels like is happening here in Oregon. There's nothing that goes away. Once it's there for almost forever. And there aren't checks and balances, and there isn't a sunset set up so that there's a review. We have audits, but gee whiz, for many years, those audits weren't even taking place until we were able to elect Secretary Richardson.
Yeah, he's the only Republican in state-level government in the state of Oregon. And he has implemented all kinds of new policies. When he was first elected, I kind of took it with a grain of salt like everybody else. I figured, well, You know, he set out this grandiose plan, and I didn't think he could do it, but you know, by golly, he's doing it.
And he's the Secretary of State of the people.
Yes.
And he's worked very hard to make sure he can do that. And that's the position that I want to make sure that I represent. Right now, this particular district is basically ground zero for the statewide fight for, are we going to have a supermajority or not a supermajority?
Right.
Less than 2.6% difference in the two major parties. And so this is one of the closest voter registrations in the state. So if you're concerned about the taxes, if you're concerned about cap and trade, if you're concerned about emergency clauses being placed on bills that it's not an emergency, if you're concerned about major pieces of legislation going through during the short session, then here's one way to stop it.
Well, and there's also an overview that everybody needs to take. If we give the Liberal Democrats the supermajority, normal people may as well just move out of Oregon, because we won't be welcome here. We're not welcome anyway, but they don't dare say anything. They don't have enough majority. But you give them a supermajority, and you will see people being forced out of the state. Look what's happening in California.
Yeah.
If you think I'm overly reacting on this, there's plenty of examples. Look around you, folks.
Well, and I think one clarification that I'd like to make is that this is not a Democrat-Republican fight. This is an urban versus rural fight.
Yeah.
This is rural folks who haven't had a voice in a long time. And in all honesty, I'm talking to Democrats every single day. And they're saying, what planet am I living on right now? Because it's moved so far to the extreme radical left that God-fearing, fiscally conservative Democrats have woke up and said, what happened?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the walk-away movement.
Right. Right.
There are now millions of voters nationwide who were registered Democrats who have walked away from the Democrat Party and have now re-registered either as Republicans or Independents. I suspect most of them Independents.
And that's something that happened many years ago when the Republicans and the Democrats flipped.
Right.
What was it, back in just before the 60s and during the 60s,
well,
you saw the blacks?
It was during the segregation thing
in the
60s and early 70s. Yeah. We saw a significant shift in how the public perceived government.
Yeah.
And I think we're seeing that again, and I think we can thank Donald Trump for that. You know, you mentioned that nothing ever sunsets. Ronald Reagan said, if there's anything truly immortal, it's a government program. And then I believe it. We got to take another break here before we run out of time. If you'd like to join the conversation, if you have any questions for Terry, give us a call here, 541-267-2124. We'll be right back.
Well, I was driving across town when my car got down, started lurching and trying to die. Well, luckily there was a shop, and when it struggled to a stop, a nice fella met me right outside. I said, man, something's wrong. What the heck is going on? He said, I tell you this, I got no doubt. You just relax and don't you worry. We can fix it in a hurry, because your car is what we're all about. We do it all.
Bayshore Auto and RV Repair, your one-stop shop for all your automotive and RV mechanical repairs. Stop by and see Jeff and his friendly staff on Bayshore Drive in Coos Bay.
Looking for a new or used firearm? You should get to know the friendly folks at World Pawn Exchange. Located at 1980 Sherman in downtown North Bend, World Pawn Exchange buys, sells, and trades firearms of all types. And with their extensive, ever-changing inventory, they could have just the right firearm for you. If they don't have that gun that you want in stock, they'll be more than happy to special order it for you. World Pawn Exchange in downtown North Bend, where you'll find more than you can possibly imagine.
Hey, Oregon, it's Rob from Basin Tackle. Don't forget to tune in to KWRO or KWRO.com every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for your premier Southern Oregon radio program, The Basin Tackle Outdoor Show, where we set you up for adventure and give you directions to get there.
Yeah, I left my heart in Oregon.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. We've only got about 8 minutes left in the hour, so Terry, I'm going to give you this 8 minutes. I'll let you do an 8-minute campaign spiel on why people should vote for you. How's that?
Well, thanks, Jim. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk to your listeners and to talk with you about the issues. You know, I'm really proud that in 2016, this person who nobody knew got out and within 5 months moved the needle to within 1,100 votes of taking out one of the most popular members of the House leadership.
Right.
And with that, it's also important to know that the Libertarian candidate took right about that same number of votes.
Yeah.
And he called me the next morning and said, Terry, you know what? I'm really sorry. In fact, I'm not running against you next time. I'm helping you. And I don't know if everyone knows this or not, but I have the nomination of the Libertarian Party, and I also earned the nomination of the Independent Party. So when I say that I'm running on behalf of the people, I really mean it. You know, I came to Oregon because I suffered a catastrophic illness. I had valley fever. After it was all done, said and done, my lungs were toasted. And I basically was homebound on disability, and I was pretty darn sick. So I went from running the hills of Capitol Hill to not even being able to walk to the end of my driveway.
Yeah, that's bad.
And the opportunity came up to participate in what some call experimental project. It's basically a project that the insurance companies don't pay for.
Oh, right.
And I tell people I had my lungs rotor-rooted.
Really?
And within 4 months, my son brought me here. My doctor said, get to the cleanest air you can and get totally out of the valley fever mold spores. And that was the Oregon coast. The largest hospital on the coast is here in Coos Bay, and they have a respiratory rehab program. And he already had the paperwork in before I ever set foot here. My son drove me into downtown North Bend and said, Mom, this looks just like Globe and Miami, which is the town that I grew up in. About the same size, same issues, ranching, farming, logging, mining, and it felt like home. Within a week, I was walking the beach. Within 4 months, I was back to work full-time for the first time in 4 years. And within that next year, I was running for office. I got my life back in Oregon. I owe Oregon my life. And so when I tell people that, I'm not saying it just for fluff or because it's a good soundbite. I'm telling them that because anybody who knows me knows what I went through. I'm running for office because I have experience and knowledge that most people on this coast don't have. And if I just sat back when I've been given this second chance,
right,
it would be criminal. It's like a doctor going up in a car accident and sitting on the side of the road and just watching. I have a responsibility to live big, and that's why I'm doing this.
Yeah.
I think that my experience in working in the state legislature, working on county issues, working on rural economic development issues, working on issues related to rural health care, I think I bring a wide portfolio and an expansive knowledge at both the state, the county, the federal level, working with tribal nations. I was the district director for a congressman that represented more tribal nations than any member of Congress in the country. I worked on tribal issues in a huge part, whether it be roads, healthcare for our tribal veterans, transportation issues. These are all issues that I've been working on for many years.
And these are the same issues that we face on a daily basis here.
Exactly. I don't have all the answers, I don't know all the answers, but I have a pretty big toolbox, and I want the chance to use it. Our sitting legislator has had 6 years to use her toolbox, and what do we have? We have a few things. Yes, we've got the Scottsboro Bridge, but I'll tell you, traditionally, in these programs, they use equalization formulas, and those formulas are set up so they pull money, a dollar out of your wallet, and it goes to Salem. And then we get pennies and nickels back.
Right.
And that's not fair to the citizens here. And they deserve to have someone who knows the process, knows the game, and understands how to get the most money back into services for our citizens. And that's what I'm committed to.
Yeah, unfortunately, Oregon, along with a number of other states, has adopted this one-size-fits-all for every issue. And the money goes to the more heavily populated areas, even though a lot of these people don't understand that those heavily populated areas are very dependent on the more rural areas. We're the ones that provide the food. We're the ones that provide raw materials. We're the ones that do the things that make their urban life possible. And yet we're getting the shaft. They get all the benefits. And it's about time we had somebody that can bring that into perspective and explain to the voters that, hey, you know, so what if you live in a wide spot in the road, you're still important and you should have a voice.
Yes, they are.
And we haven't had that for so long because, well, we got both Arne Roble and Catty McEwen, and as soon as they went to Salem, they became Portland Democrats. And we've got a candidate running for commissioner that's been a Portland Democrat for years, although she denies it.
It's John Sweet, and he's a registered Republican, but you wouldn't know it by his votes.
Please. No, he's... I don't even know what he is. Anyway, that music in the back means we're at the top of the hour and we're out of time. Terry, I thank you for coming in. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And probably have you on again before the election. How's that?
Yes, and ask people to go to my website at terrygreer.org. I want them to learn more about me.
I think that's a good idea. After all, folks, you're the ones that own this state. Learn about the candidate, vote accordingly, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes. Talk a little bit about what's happening in the country out there. This has been going on for some time, but it seems to be coming to a head. The big deal that seems to take up an inordinate amount of time with the media is how President Donald Trump is undermining the First Amendment and he's trashing the media.
You know, I've never seen a president utilize the First Amendment the way this man has utilized the First Amendment.
I haven't either.
Yeah.
I've got a quote.
Yep.
I've got a quote. And this, believe me, folks, think about this after I read the quote and try to relate it to what's going on around you right now. The press should be not only a collective propagandist and a collective agitator, but also a collective organizer of the masses. You know who said that?
Marx.
Nope. Vladimir Lenin.
Close.
Now, think about what we have today with lying media and everything. You know, there's an awful lot of criticism of President Trump for his so-called war on the media. And to hear the media whine and snivel about their treatment, you'd think that Trump was trying to prevent them from doing their job. But nothing could be farther from the truth. President Trump even clarified his position by stating unequivocally that his position was not against the press in general, but against those members of the press who continuously report fake news in an effort to make him look bad. And that's exactly what's happening. The media response has been that, well, Trump's a racist. He's a misogynist. Oh, my God, he's a bigot. And he's responsible for everything from the crucifixion of Christ to the killing of Croc Robin. The next stunt is going to be this coming Thursday, when over 100 newspapers nationwide are going to collaborate and publish editorials trashing Trump. This is the media's response.
I hope they do it at the Charmin factory.
Well, I think this is a good thing, actually,
yeah.
Because what this is going to do, folks, after Thursday, you will know specifically, you will have names of who the fake media are. They're going to advertise it. That's how smart they are. They're going to advertise that they're fake media, fake news. Now, you know, a lot of the people I talk about regularly have a tendency to blame the people for being stupid because they believe so many things that just aren't true. But it isn't the fault of the people. The fault lies with the corrupt media. You know, the people, by and large, you know, you folks listening to me, you don't spend 6 hours a day researching the news the way I do. I don't expect you to. That's not your job. So you depend on media to get valid information so you can make valid decisions. The unfortunate part is you're not getting that valid information from the media. You know, if you have a hard time following the logic of some of these liberal arguments, don't worry about it because it's not you. You're not the problem. Taking a page out of George Orwell's 1984, I cite that on the show quite frequently, liberals have mastered the art of doublethink. Doublethink is the ability to hold two contradictory beliefs in one's mind simultaneously and accept both of them. That's doublethink. And we are hit by that every single day. As Orwell described the world of doublethink, it was to know and not to know, to be conscious of complete truthfulness while telling carefully constructed lies, to hold simultaneously two opinions which canceled each other out, knowing them to be contradictory and believing in both of them, to use logic against logic, to repudiate morality while laying claim to it, to believe that democracy was impossible, but at the same time, they're the party that's a guardian of democracy. This is what doublethink is. And I'll readily admit I plagiarized this from George Orwell's book, 1984, but it's dead on. I couldn't have said it better myself. In the novel, there's a lot of examples. War is peace. Freedom is slavery. Ignorance is strength. Boy, isn't that the truth today? But they're just as plentiful in real life. You know, think about it. Equality is racism. If you oppose special treatment for one race, you're guilty of a hate crime, you know. Truth is a lie. Political correctness run amok it forces people to say things that they know is BS. But they've got to do it. Otherwise, the guardians of political correctness come down on them in force and basically destroy their lives.
Almost like any conservative professor in academia today.
Yeah, exactly. And then the one, and we just heard that this last weekend, hate is love. So they're attacking Trump supporters because it's necessary to make us idiots see the light. That's the whole thing. But the most obvious example of this doublethink is the left's defense of abortion. Rather than directly promoting abortion, which they don't do, they say that they're protecting women's reproductive rights. It's a women's health issue, don't you know?
Right.
Yeah. However, it turns out that reproductive rights actually means the right not to reproduce. Down to and including killing your own unique, never-to-be-reproduced-again baby by sucking out its brains through partial birth abortion. That's what they advocate. That's what liberals are for. Sucking the brains out of babies. Of course, maybe they're doing that defensively because, let's face it, to be a liberal, somebody had to suck their brain out at some point. So,
right.
So maybe all these liberals out there are nothing more than failed attempts at
failed
abortion.
Attempts at abortion, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you want to be a liberal, you got to have a lobotomy. And then there's also the more subtle examples, which may be even more dangerous. Consider cultural appropriation.
Oh,
this,
that's ridiculous.
This is something that's just come up in the past couple of years. That's the crime. It's a crime now. according to liberals. It's a crime of borrowing elements from one culture by another. Now, imitation is appropriation, according to them.
It's the best form of flattery, too.
Yeah, generally this is applied as a thought crime only when the borrower is white or belongs to a Western culture, and the appropriation comes from a minority culture.
Yeah, and that I don't understand. They can't appropriate from the Western civilization, but yet we've appropriated from all the Eastern cultures. And
yeah.
Yet they say they can't appropriate from us because we stole it first, and whatever we gained was what they deserved.
That, you know, when I was preparing my notes, I was reading a bunch of examples, and one of them that really struck me was it wasn't an Indian tribe, but it was some woman that claims she's an Indian.
Mm-hmm.
And she had her shorts all knotted up over some girl going to the prom wearing an Indian outfit.
Right, right.
Okay? I don't know. You probably saw
that. Yeah, I saw
article.
That, yes.
And she was all upset. Well, maybe the rest of us should be upset. Here she is, an Indian, so proud of the fact. I'm upset with her for cultural appropriation because she's living in a wooden house. She's driving a car by evil white people, Europeans.
And she probably Twittered that message.
Oh, yeah. She sent it out over
appropriation.
Twitter. Appropriation. Yeah. So it just shows the emptiness of their arguments. And like Rob says, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. If white people are to be segregated from the cultural influence of minorities, then not only will they be poor for it, but so will the minority cultures, which could take pride in their influence and importance.
Right, right, because we wouldn't have grown without appropriating that knowledge and then making it better for everyone, and everyone benefits.
Yeah, if nothing else, people should be complimented for doing that. Because it shows the importance of that minority culture.
Right.
So you'd think they'd be proud of it. But, you know, much of the power of this cultural appropriation mantra comes in the form of bullying people that dare to be different. But the doublethink of appropriation goes way beyond culture. Consider the hypocrisy of a left-wing philosophy that opposes a person of one race wearing the outer trappings associated with another race, yet at the same time argues that society has an obligation to allow men to assume the identity of a woman, or vice versa? Which is more of an appropriation? Borrowing clothes or borrowing a gender, for God's sake?
Yeah, I think one is a little more personal than that former. Yeah,
you would think. Of course, since cultural appropriation is only supposed to be inappropriate when a majority borrows from an oppressed minority, and in America, every minority is oppressed according to liberals, it shouldn't be inappropriate for a woman to identify as a man. But it would be an insult for a man, by liberal definition as an oppressor, to identify as a woman, which again, by liberal definition, is a ready-made victim of oppression. So they've got it all backwards. They don't even know what the hell they're talking about. You know, the twists and turns and the logic to doublethink are exhausting, and I think it's safe to say that at least part of the power of liberalism is that it's easier to surrender to its rhetoric than pin it down like a bug and analyze it under a microscope. That's what I do.
Especially if it feels good.
Yeah. Yeah. I just looked at the clock. We got to take a break. So we're going to take it. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call here, 541-267-2124. We'll be right back.
Stop in today to the all-new one-stop gun shop, Hole in the Wall Gun Shop in Coos Bay. Your area leader in quality firearms, Hole in the Wall Gun Shop proudly features the top brands of new and used handguns, hunting rifles, black rifles, antique and collectible guns, ammo, mace, and more. Gun cleaning and repair, expert advice, and handgun safety classes for concealed carry permits are offered too. So stop into Hole in the Wall Gun Shop across from Cumyon's on Highway 101 South in Coos Bay. We buy, sell, or trade.
The RV business is booming at the Boomin' Y, and Gibbs RV is looking for nice pre-owned RVs to consign or buy. Gibbs RV makes it so simple. They will come to your location, give you a fair appraisal, and help take care of all the paperwork. It doesn't get any easier than that. So let the professionals at Gibbs RV take the hassle out of selling or consigning your RV. Stop by and see them today at 1845 Ocean Boulevard in Coos Bay by the Big Boomin' Y in Empire, or check them out at GibbsRV.com.
Hi, Danny at Far West Tire and Auto here. With the cold, harsh winter months behind us and summer right around the corner, you want to make sure your tires are ready for your adventure. Whether it's off-roading, a drive up the coast, or to the mountains, you want to drive with confidence that only Cooper Tires can provide. With a wide selection of Cooper Tires, Far West Tire and Auto has all your tire needs covered. Stop by Far West Tire and Auto on Highway 101 Coos Bay. Always the right tire, always the right price.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the show. I'm talking about the illogic of liberalism and the corruption of the media. You know, it was predominantly media lies that created the Occupy Wall Street group, Black Lives Matter, and Antifa. And it was also the corruption of the media that inflicted man-made global warming on the world. You know, when various investigations revealed that most of the data being used to support man-made warming idea was manipulated and oftentimes even falsified, the media refused to report on it. Then we got Moonbeam Brown in California. He's blaming forest fires on global warming rather than poor forestry practices, while the fake news media refuses to tell people the truth. Excuse me. The U.S. Forest Service used to auction surplus lumber harvested from national forests. This served two purposes. First, it cleared and cleaned and thinned the forest. And secondly, it provided usable timber for a myriad of industries. The Timber and Forest Service auctioned off more than paid for the entire federal agency, and then some. Local governments even received 25% of the proceeds from lumber auctions, while 75% went to the federal government to support the Forest Service.
Now, Jim, I'm a young man, and I don't know too many government agencies who are self-sufficient, so it blows my mind that there was a time when the U.S. Forest Service not only made their own budget
for
made
over
enough,
50 years.
And then they were able to give some of that money away? Wow.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if government worked like that again?
Yeah, it worked for over 50 years. Revenues that our forest management agencies once produced and that facilitated our forest stewardship, they've all dried up. This has devastated rural communities that once thrived from the forest economy. There were once 147 lumber mills in this country. Did you know that?
No, that's incredible.
You know how many there are left in the entire country?
Probably two now.
29.
Oh, my God. 20. Wait a minute. 29?
In the entire country.
What do we do if we have a shortage of building material in this country and we need some lumber? You know, that's a scary.
We buy it from Canada.
Or China, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, despite a growing population, visitation of the national forests has declined significantly as the health of the forest has decayed. We can no longer manage lands to prevent fire, even salvage dead timber once a fire has destroyed it. But private forests are still managed properly, but not forests on public lands. The sound practice ground to a halt when the most radical enviro wackos took over. Now, thick, overgrown, and diseased forests have become tinderboxes. They're burning down in California and Oregon and other states, leaving a trail of death and destruction. Is that what we really want? We do have a caller. We've got Steve from East Bay. Steve, welcome to the Jim Bice Show. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, that supermajority. I think there's quite a few of us out here that don't really understand what that means in Terry's race.
Oh,
they only need one more vote, and how, where it's at, and how does it work?
Okay, what the Democrats are hoping for in November is a supermajority in Salem. A supermajority means that they will have enough Democrats that there is no hope whatsoever of Republicans ever stopping them from doing what they want. They will have the votes to override anything the Republicans try to do. So that's what the supermajority means. It means that they can act with impunity. They don't have to pay attention to the Republicans, and they sure as hell don't have to pay attention to the people.
It's legitimate one-party rule.
Yeah, basically, that's what it comes down to.
So what is that percent? How can we, besides just Terry's race, are there any others that we can vote on it to stop that?
Well, right now, the way it sits, with all the election projections, because we've got all the pundits out there telling us, you know, how we're going to vote, even though we haven't voted yet, the way it's shaping up, it appears that there's only one vote is going to prevent the Democrats from achieving their supermajority in the legislature. This race in Coos County between Caddy McEwen and Terry Greer has been identified by both political parties as the race to make that determination. So both political parties are going to be dumping money into it. The Democrats want to reelect McEwen because there's some other districts around the state where they're going to pick up a couple of seats.
Right.
And by picking up those seats, they only need one more to have their supermajority. So they're targeting this race to try to get that seat, whereas the Republicans are targeting the race to try to prevent them from getting the seat. And out of all the districts in the state, this is the one they chose because in the 2016 election, Terry Greer, a political unknown in the area, came within 1,100 votes.
Right.
So they figure with Caddy's lies and her backing up and everything, they figure that this is the best place to stop the supermajority. It's not going to give the Republicans a majority, but it's going to give them the ability to stop the Democrats.
And let me explain to you how important that is. The person who ran against Caddy or for that seat the time before Terry did last election cycle, there was a 5,000-point spread between her and the person who ran against her, the Republican who ran against her. In the next race, the one that Terry ran in the last election cycle, it was 900 votes. It was only 900-vote spread between her and Caddy McEwen, and that really woke the Republicans up because they were kind of upset that they didn't put more money behind race. And so they knew if we could take it from 5,000 to 900, that in this next election cycle, they should be able to close that gap by putting a little bit more money and a little bit more professional politics behind it. And that was going to build the party. But right now, a lot of Republicans are facing a heavy challenge up north, such as Mike Nierman, and I forget the district he's in.
Yeah. So does that explain it to you, Steve?
Oh, boy. I tell you, I haven't had the TV for like 2 years now, except when I, you know, visit other people.
Right.
It's like it is so overwhelming as to where everything is now. I'm overwhelmed, to tell you the truth. But I'd like to mention, if I could, there's going to be a North Bend VA meeting, town hall, here in a couple of weeks.
Yes, I have that posted on my website.
Okay, I wanted to make sure that, because I don't know how to go to websites, Jim.
Okay.
Like there's a lot of us out here that don't even have computers and or the ability to plug in. So if they could hear it, it'd be a lot better chance.
Yeah, I think that, isn't that on the 21st?
I believe so,
yeah.
Yes.
I believe
and,
it's the 21st.
I don't even know what day of that week that is. They didn't put that on my announcement. You know, you take a guy that's homeless on the street, he hears about this, and if they find out it's the 21st, so what day of the week is the 21st? Why don't you put in the three letters that tell you us what day of the week those meetings are, not just for the vets. I'm talking to everybody. Instead of having to run down a darn calendar, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, well.
Just on my soapbox.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I don't remember it off the top of my head.
I got it right here, Jim. Oh, okay. It's the 9th Annual Veteran Stand Down, and it's Friday, August 17th, 2018, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Hangar 1 in the southwestern Oregon.
Okay, so it's the 17th. And then there's another one on the 21st someplace. I don't remember. I think maybe Brookings, but I've got both of them.
Yeah. The 21st is one here, I'm pretty sure.
You sure?
This says August 17th. This says August Friday, August 17th, 2018 is the 9th Annual Veteran Stand Down, and that's being reported in the World newspaper.
Wow. Well, that goes to tell you, you know, how long my brain cells work.
Yeah.
I'll
tell you what I'll do, Steve. I'll double check that, and then on next week's show, I will announce it with all the particulars, and I'll have everything right. How's that?
And only one real quick short thing more.
Okay.
I heard just day before yesterday that Newt is neck and neck and pulling ahead of Brown for governor.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I don't have TV, you know. And you take those people that don't ever watch because they're not interested. It's like I had no idea things looked so good. My gosh, here we got two races we could win, and who, maybe even Art might win this time. You know the way
people
are finally waking up, saying, you know, this don't vote because I don't like you. You're not 100% the best. What I want is the wrong thing to do. We need to, no matter if we are, our candidates 100% in our camp. You know what I'm saying?
I've got a basic philosophy on that, Steve, that I've used for years and years. When I look at the ballot, oftentimes there's no candidate and no ballot measure that I really want to vote for. But there's almost always stuff that I want to vote against.
So
the way I work it, if I can't see anything on the ballot I want to vote for, there's going to be a whole bunch of stuff I want to vote against, and that's the way I vote. Mm-hmm. So that,
well, you can't do that necessarily with the candidate. Either you got to vote for one or the other. You can't just not vote for, it's like not voting.
Well, you know? Actually, there's a number of races where in the past I have not voted for a candidate because I thought both of them were pieces
in
of
fact,
crap.
Yeah. And
oh,
we
yeah,
call
yeah,
it
I
the,
agree that.
We got a none of the above category in certain races. We are, you know, it's the not a vote, none
right.
of the above.
Yeah.
And, you know, in certain races, I can see voting for that, but it would be stupid to do that right now for the governor, even though he's not even close to being a conservative. I'm going to vote for the other guy, and that's because he hasn't been corrupted yet. You know, let's give him a chance to get corrupted
before we throw him out.
He will be, but
at the moment he's not. And, if you look at Buehler's voting record in the House, you can't tell if he's a Republican or Democrat
right.
by how he voted. He's basically a disingenuous piece of crap,
but
he is he's not
Brown.
He is not Kate Brown.
Right.
And
exactly.
that's you know, it's one of those things. There's nobody I want to vote for, but there's certainly somebody I want to vote against.
And I'll vote against her by voting for him. That's not a problem.
Yep.
But we need to vote. We all need
absolutely.
To do our thing.
Absolutely.
You know, we got it so darn easy. All you got to do is fill the thing out.
Yeah.
You got a couple of weeks to do it and put it in. You can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get so frustrated.
Yeah.
I agree. So,
okay.
I thank you guys for having your show on because I learned a lot from it.
Well, I appreciate that, Steve, and I appreciate you listening. You have a great day.
All right. You guys do.
Okay. You know, getting back to the forest thing, you know, our private forests are still managed properly because this is how people derive their living, you know. But the public forests are not. There we go. You know what we need to do? Let's go to a break, and I'll pick this up on the other side because we're running a little over time, and we're going to run out of time. So we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Looking for a new or used firearm? You should get to know the friendly folks at World Pawn Exchange. Located at 1980 Sherman in downtown North Bend, World Pawn Exchange buys, sells, and trades firearms of all types. And with their extensive, ever-changing inventory, they could have just the right firearm for you. If they don't have that gun that you want in stock,
They'll be more than happy to special order it for you. World Pawn Exchange in downtown North Bend, where you'll find more than you can possibly imagine.
In just a fast few minutes from right now, you can have life insurance for up to $500,000 without taking a medical exam and without leaving your home. We're Fast Life, and we're going to make this easy and fast. Odds are that you don't have enough insurance, or you're paying way too much for what you got, or you don't have any, and that's not good. Listen, nobody likes to think about life insurance, but we're grown-ups now, so call and protect your family. 1-800-254-9567, or go to fastlife.life. You've got insurance? That's great, but you may be able to get more coverage and pay less than what you're paying now. And with no medical exam, you can get it right over the phone, and that's fast. Faster than a speeding bullet? No, but fast. And we also said we make it easy. So call and get quotes, then submit an application over the phone, and that's it. And that's easy. Get approved, and coverage starts instantly. And that's fast. Faster than the speed of light? No, but fast. Call 1-800-254-9567 or go to fastlife.life. Fastlife.life. It's revolutionary. It's Fast Life.
If you run your own business, when you're not on the job, you're on the road, in your van. Signs that say detour and do not enter are just plain bad for business. Well, here's a sign that's great for business. It says 0% financing and up to 2 years complimentary scheduled maintenance on Mercedes-Benz Sprinter or Metris vans. Powerful, capable, and affordable. That's Mercedes-Benz van power. With pioneering safety technologies and low total cost of ownership, Mercedes-Benz vans are the right choice for your business. Check out the full lineup of Mercedes-Benz vans starting at just $25,995. 0% financing and up to 2 years complimentary scheduled maintenance. That's van power for all. Mercedes-Benz. Vans. Born to run.
Starting ad price refers to base model Metris worker cargo van. Excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep fee. Please see your dealer or go to mvvans.com for further details and exclusions.
Are your medical bills piling up due to cancer or another serious illness? You are not alone. Many people face this challenge. Here's how Coventry Direct can help. You can receive an immediate cash payment by selling your life insurance policy. If you have $100,000 or more of life insurance, you may be eligible to sell your policy, even a term policy. To find out if you qualify, call Coventry Direct today at 1-800-510-2800 to speak to one of our policy specialists. That's 1-800-510-2800. The cash you receive from selling your policy can be used to help pay medical bills or whatever you choose to give you financial security and peace of mind. Call Coventry Direct at 1-800-510-2800. Or visit us at CoventryDirect.com. Coventry Direct, giving you the cash you need when you need it most. Coventry Direct is a marketing company and will refer qualified policies to a licensed entity.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the show. I want to get back on this forestry thing because this is important to the people here. You know, in 2012, the Obama administration issued a major rewrite of all the country's forest rules and guidelines, adding so many rules and regulations and layers of bureaucracy that it ground all forest management to a halt because nobody knew what was going on. To even cut one tree down in the national forest, the forest managers were forced to apply to the federal government for a study. They couldn't cut a tree without having a study, for God's sake. And the other big problem is that these burdensome regulatory requirements greatly inflate the cost of forest management. When forest managers attempted to address public lands ravaged by disease, beetles, or fires, they were met with a wall of bureaucracy. Public lands take years worth of environmental review for studies, and by then, the timber's lost most of its commercial value. Essentially, the public land is abandoned. The laws make it cost prohibitive to salvage. And, you know, we have created a monster that it looks like the Trump administration's trying to sort it out, but it isn't going to happen overnight. And then we got Governor Moonbeam in California. He spent a great deal of time jetting around the world, spouting the climate change propaganda. And Now he calls these year-round wildfires California's new normal. The questions no one is asking is, if the same climate change impacts private lands the same as it does public lands, then why are private forests not burning down? Could it be because they're properly managed? Or if a fire does break out on a privately managed forest land, it's often extinguished more quickly and easily because the trees aren't so close together and the underbrush has been cleared away. And I remember the Chetco Bar fire last year. Hell, they let that thing grow and grow and grow before they even bothered to address it.
And these are the same people who want to take over our health care.
Yeah. The reality that most people don't understand is that excess timber will come out of the forest in one of only two ways. It's either carried out on trucks or it's burned. That's the only ways. Our forests are now catastrophically overgrown, often carrying four times the number of trees that the land can support. In this stressed and weakened condition, our forests are easy prey for drought, disease, pestilence, and fire. And we're seeing the results of that right now. The United States Forest Service was originally founded to protect forests from the ravages of fire and to preserve it for future generations and provide an ongoing supply of wood products for a growing nation. Now, that thinking was abandoned in favor of the flawed no-use movement or the rewilding theory, which blames humans for the degradation of the planet in general. For decades, traditional forest management was scientific and it was successful. That is, until the ideological preservationist zealots wormed their way into government and began the 40-year overhaul of sound forest management through abuse of the Endangered Species Act and the no-use movement. You know, they want to keep people out of nature altogether.
I call it the look-but-don't-touch policy.
Yeah, basically, that's what it is. Traditional forest management had pretty simple guidelines. You thin the forest when it becomes too difficult to walk through it. Too many trees in the woods are going to compete with one another because the best trees always grow at a slower rate. That's when you get the best quality wood. The U.S. Forest Service used to be a profitable federal agency. Up until the mid-1970s, we managed our forests according to well-established and time-tested forest management practices. But 40 years ago, we replaced this sound management with what can only be described as a doctrine of benign neglect. Ponderous laws and regulations administered by a growing cadre of ideological idiots in our land management agencies promised to save the environment. Oh my God, we're going to save the world! The advocates of this doctrine have dominated the corrupt media, our laws, our policies, our courts, and our federal agencies ever since. Today, only privately managed forests are maintained through the traditional forest management practices. Thinning, cutting, clearing, prescribed burns, and the disposal of the resulting woody waste. That's how it should be done. That's the way it's done on the private lands. Why is it not done that way on public lands? And we do have to take a break here. And we got to give something away. This is from the Lucky Star Chinese Restaurant. I just had lunch there last week with some friends. Great food and good service. They're open 7 days a week. No, they're not. They're open 6 days a week. They're closed Monday, but they're open 6 days a week from 11 in the morning to 9:30 at night. You can dine in, you can carry out, or they deliver. And what they're offering is a house special dinner. That includes barbecued pork, sweet and sour pork, fried shrimp, a spring roll, pork fried rice, and pork chow mein. Enough food for about three people, and I'm going to give this away to caller number three at 541-267-2124. So dial the phone right now, 541-267-2124. Be caller number 3 and win this terrific dinner from Lucky Star Chinese Restaurant. And we'll be right back.
Well, I was driving across town when my car got down, started lurching and trying to die. Well, luckily there was a shop, and when it struggled to a stop, a nice fella met me right outside. I said, "Man, something's wrong. What the heck is going on?" He said, "I tell you this, I got no doubt. You just relax and don't you worry. We can fix it in a hurry, because your car is what we're all about. We do it all."
Bayshore Auto and RV Repair, your one-stop shop for all your automotive and RV mechanical repairs. Stop by and see Jeff and his friendly staff on Bayshore Drive in Coos Bay.
Hey everyone, this is Rob from Basin Tackle, and we want to invite you to tune in every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for our Basin Tackle Outdoor Show. It's going to be an hour of fun, frivolity, and of course, fishing. We're also going to have hints, tips, and suggestions to help you catch more fish. Whether you're a beginner or a seasoned pro, we're going to have something for everyone, with guests, call-ins, giveaways, and whatever else I can think of as I head into the studio. Remember folks, that's Wednesdays at 3 p.m. brought to you by Basin Tackle, where we set you up for adventure and give you directions to get there.
Slip away to the tropics. The tropical decor at the new Copacabana, North Bend's newest and friendliest night spot. The Copacabana is located at 645 Virginia Avenue and features not only a full-service bar for all your favorite adult beverages, but offers hamburgers, seafood, and appetizers to satisfy your munchies. They're open from 5 till midnight Monday through Thursday and 5 till 2:30 a.m. on Friday and Saturday. At the Copacabana, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights are special with a live DJ for your dancing and listening pleasure. That's the Copacabana, 645 Virginia in North Bend. Stop by tonight.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the show. You know, another example of media corruption is a situation with the terrorist training camp that was busted in Oklahoma last week.
I thought it was in New Mexico.
That was Oklahoma, I think.
Oh, are you talking about the 15 kids?
Yeah.
That was New Mexico.
That was New Mexico. Yeah, you're right.
I remember that because I called Mom and said, "Hey, Mom, you know these people?" And she
did. Yeah. Anyway, they busted that training camp. Turns out that the leader of the camp was a known Muslim extremist.
Yeah.
And he was training children as young as 11 years old to go out and commit mass shootings at schools.
School shootings. Can you imagine? They're almost using our own fighting techniques against us.
Yeah. Now, in addition to that, this guy is the son of a Muslim radical imam who heads a mosque in Philadelphia. And the father was an unindicted co-conspirator in the first World Trade Center bombing back in 1993. And the Alphabet Media never bothered to mention any of that. They didn't mention that he was a radical Muslim. They didn't mention that his father was a radical unindicted co-conspirator. And they didn't mention that they were training these kids to go out and do school shootings.
And no one tracked this guy. That's what is amazing. Yeah. He was out there for years, I understand.
Yeah, he was doing it for a long time. And they did find the body of that little girl that was missing on that property. But the mainstream media never bothered to tell the people the background. All they said was, "Oh, we busted this guy. And, oh, we found the body." And that was it. Because I know, because I went to all the Alphabet news agencies. Now, then consider the reporting on the demonstrations last weekend back east. To believe CNN, ABC, CBS, and MSNBC, you'd think the Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and the other radical groups were peacefully demonstrating against a bunch of out-of-control right-wing racist murderers and sexists. That's the way they portrayed it.
Yeah.
The truth is that it was Antifa and the other leftist groups that were assaulting the right-wing demonstrators and the police, and they're the ones that damaged the police cars and the private property. They're the ones that were arrested.
Right.
They didn't arrest any of the right-wingers, only the left-wingers, but you never saw it in the mainstream media. And now, I watched about a dozen videos of that, and the one that stuck in my mind, there's a whole bunch of these Antifa idiots out there chanting, "Death to America, no borders, no wall, no USA at all." And these are the peaceful demonstrators that the mainstream media supported.
Well, If there's no USA, where the heck are these guys going to live?
Well, they don't have a clue. They're idiots. Oh, you got an announcement.
Oh, yeah. You know, I just was talking about the 9th Annual Veteran Stand Down. I got a confirmation because anything you get from the world, you might as well be reading off a bathroom wall. So I confirmed it, and the 9th Annual Veteran Stand Down is Friday, August 17th at 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Hangar 1 in the Southwestern Oregon Regional Airport. There you go.
Okay, very good. I want to get back to these demonstrators because this whole thing just really irked me. These violent demonstrators are the darlings of the Democrat Party and the corrupt media. But even that isn't good enough for them. Now they're calling for the censorship of anybody with whom they disagree. You know, they want to take away other people's First Amendment right because they don't agree with them. You know, now the people that defend censoring ideas are fools to begin with, and that goes for government censorship and corporate censorship as well. All of them, from Marxist dictators right down to the rich Hollywood elites that like to wine and dine the Marxist dictators. True democratic choice depends upon the free flow of information and ideas. That's why the founders put in the First Amendment. Censorship is always an attack on both human dignity and on democracy itself. How then could silencing dissidents be defending democracy, as many of these idiots in the mainstream media seem to think?
Right.
You know, if you're not exposed to different ideas, even wrong ideas, even stupid ideas, you're not really free to choose your own destiny as an individual or as a people. Knowing what other options are out there is a prerequisite to selecting what you agree with. The largest threat to American freedom right now is not Russia, never has been. The largest threat to American liberty has always been the threat posed to America right here at home by special interest groups and their lapdogs in the media that manipulate information to benefit their agenda, mostly but not exclusively left-wing special interest groups, big tech billionaires, who systematically silence their political opponents. You've got the corporate puppets in the media and media executives who arrogantly believe that they should get to dictate to ordinary folks what their preferences, their values, and their future should be. This is what we've got for a media in America. There's no such thing as hate speech or a hate group. These are not legitimate intellectual concepts. They're concepts that are specifically created to marginalize the entirely legitimate ideas and arguments of people on the political right and the political opponents of the Marxist radicals that spun these illegitimate intellectual concepts a few decades ago. It has never been hate speech to denigrate whites or Christians or conservatives or straight people. Indeed, at many universities, there are whole academic departments devoted to those activities. Folks on the left will trot out a host of different reasons as to why philosophical consistency doesn't matter when it comes to slandering and sidelining their adversaries, but anybody with an IQ over 10 can see through their self-serving propaganda. We're seeing it now. People are finally waking up. People are finally understanding how we have been lied to for years and years and years, how corrupt the media really is. I just saw a poll, I think it was Saturday or Sunday. I stumbled across a poll. Turns out that in modern day America, only 31% of the people polled trust the mainstream media.
And that's probably consistent throughout our history, I would imagine.
I would say probably. And then we got another favorite buzzword that the leftists like to use, bigot. Bigotry.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Trump's a bigot. It was traditionally defined as the intolerance of differing viewpoints and or the intolerant devotion to one's own opinions or prejudices. If that's the definition, and it is, then censorship is the height of bigotry. Defenders of censorship aren't just bigoted, they want the whole world to be bigoted with them. It isn't enough for these bigots that they won't hear other opponents out. They want to prevent anyone from hearing their opponent's message. You might even say censorship is bigotry plus power. Yet the media, the so-called guardians of democracy and the great enemies of bigotry, have celebrated both the digital and the physical excommunication of anybody that they disagree with. We're seeing it right now. We're seeing the big social media, Google and Twitter and all of those. They're blocking out entire websites because they disagree with the message. And just this past week, we've seen two prime examples of the left trying to stifle open discourse. In Florida, an incumbent Florida representative actually called the police to have a reporter removed from a town hall meeting for asking a question that she didn't want to answer.
Didn't you say lawsuit?
Well, I'm sure that's going to come.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, not to be outdone, New York Mayor Bill de Blasio, I think he's a reincarnation of Karl Marx.
Yeah, commie guy.
Commie Bill. He had a reporter ejected from a press conference for asking a question he didn't like.
Now, I didn't even hear that, but if that would have been Trump.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? It would have been the end of the world.
Man.
But when Comrade Bill does it, it's okay. So how can we reconcile these glaring inconsistencies? How do we make sense of all this madness? It's really quite simple, really. Bigots are bigots. It's really simple, right? They're incapable of appreciating the depths of their own bigotry and hypocrisy. Racism is when white people do what non-white people do regularly, namely try to advance their own group interests. Hate speech is when normal people defend themselves from attacks by the left and never when lefties attack normal people without provocation. That never happens. So bigotry is assaulting someone over their ideas or refusing to serve someone because of their politics. Hate is how the media feels about President Trump and the source of Trump derangement syndrome, which seems to be... It seems to be an epidemic all of a sudden. When you apply the purported values of the political left consistently and non-selectively, what you real quickly discover is that the political left is comprised of the biggest bigots and haters of all. They just don't count their own bigotry as bigotry because, well, they're bigots. Why would they? Truth be told, the only thing really separating the Bolsheviks of old from the leftists of today has been a reluctance by modern leftists to adopt and embrace full-blown economic socialism, although that's coming. And anybody paying attention to recent events within the Democrat Party knows that reluctance is fast slipping away. They're slipping more and more over the edge by the day. Anyway, that music in the background means we're out of time. This 2 hours just flies past every week. I will be back next week. And until then, I want you to go out there and you have a great week.